Well, get your Bibles out and turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Okay, and if you would, go to verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. I'm going to deviate from where we've been this last few weeks. I just got stirred up about another message here. And so let's just pray. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, Lord, I declare that our hearts are open, that our ears are open, that, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from heaven. And, Lord, that as we have sang of your praises, as we've worshiped you, I just declare right now, Lord, that the word is going to be imparted into our hearts. Because it's the truth of your word that is what sets us all free. And so, Lord, this morning, I just declare we're people that want to be set free. And so we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you would, look here, verse 21, and let me read here a little bit. It says, Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And there came a woman of Cana who came out from that region. She cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help us. And he answered and he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it unto the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now here's an amazing story of Jesus going down the road. And this woman comes up to him, but the problem is that she's not Jewish. And Jesus was sent on a mission to preach the gospels to the Jewish people. And so he says, well, you know, it's not your time yet. And the woman became insistent. Now, I love what Jesus said to her. He says, you know, I'm not supposed to throw the bread unto the dogs. Well, the Gentiles were known in those days as dogs. And the woman comes back at him. She doesn't give up. She comes back and she says, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from under the table. And Jesus, her determination and her faith just caused Jesus to stop. I don't know how it really went down in the sense of what his face looked like, but I think he had a smile on his face and a smirk. He kind of said, yeah, you got it. I mean, she just wouldn't give up. I mean, it stopped him in his tracks. And I just think he just said, you know, this woman, man, you know, Lord, Father, give her whatever she needs. Because her faith was so determined. I believe as Christians, we give up too easy. Look at the person beside us, they don't give up. I believe we give up too easy. I believe the devil gets us sidetracked. He gets us chasing our tails. He gets us looking at the wrong thing, and we become tired and we become weary and we give up on the promises of God that he has for us. Have any agreement in here this morning? And this woman's faith, I want to show you something here. When he said in verse 28, great is your faith, let it be unto you as you desire. If you go look up the Greek word, what it meant there for desire, it meant what you've determined. What you've set about to do. What was the dream that was in your heart? What was the place that you wanted to be? Where were you going? What have you determined to be in life? He said, just as you, he did not say, listen to me, read it. Great is your faith, let it be unto you as you desire, let it be unto you as you determine. He didn't say, your daughter's healed. Hello? He didn't say, she's praying about her daughter, right? Said her daughter, she said her daughter's demon possessed, right? Jesus didn't say, okay, she's healed. He told the woman, just as you determine, it's yours. So if she would have said, Lord, I just want my daughter's demon possession. She's about to die. And I just want to ask you to heal the heart, heal my heart from the pain of losing my daughter. That's what she'd have got. Y'all follow me here. You see, so many times we think that God has predetermined everything in our lives. But that statement right there totally, completely changes that. Because it's not him determining it, it's you determining it. It's you determining it in how you're believing for him to move in your life. Mistakes happen. Problems come. Obstacles are there. There's stumbling blocks. We stumble and we fall. But the Bible says that a righteous man, the only difference between a righteous man and an unrighteous man, in Proverbs is saying this, is that the righteous man got up and dusted his breeches legs off and continued on serving the Lord. Obviously, the Lord knows you're going to make a mistake. Obviously, the Lord knows that we're not going to do everything right. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to give his life for us. So the hindrances that the enemy wants to throw into our life is looking at all the past mistakes and the past problems and the past things going on and get ourselves to where we lose focus and sight of where we're determining to go. Let me illustrate this to you a little bit better in another story in the Old Testament. Go to the book of 1 Samuel, Old Testament. Chapter 11. It's one of the wildest stories I think in the Old Testament is right here. Found in 1 Samuel chapter 11. I'll start reading verse 1. Says, then Nahash the Amorite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. Now Nahash the Amorite answered them, on this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring a reproach on Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers through all the territory of Israel. And if no one is there to save us, we will come out to you. So the messengers came to Gilead and to Saul and told the news of the hearing of all the people. And all the people lifted their voices and wept. Now, I don't know about you, but this story just really blows my mind. First of all, the guy comes up and says, I'm going to take over your city. And they said, okay, well, we'll serve you. We will make a covenant with you. And what are we going to do? And he said, well, I just want to get all the men of the city, bring them out here, and I want to put their right eye out. And they said, but let us go see if anybody will come and help us fight and deliver us. And then if not, we'll come and do that. And the idiot says, oh, okay. It's like we're two fools met. Right? I mean, the guy, you would have just, it seemed to me if Nahash would have been any kind of a warrior, he just said, no, today, either fight me or I'm going to put your eye out. But he said, oh, okay, if you want to go see if you can find an army to come help you deliver you, that'll be okay. What? And then the other guys, can you imagine going back and saying, well, it ain't such a bad deal. We just got to serve him, but he's going to poke out your right eye with a, you know, red-hot poker. Other than that, it'd be a pretty good deal. What? Now, you know, the reason why they wanted to poke out their right eye was because he was limiting them as warriors because the majority of people were going to be right-handed. And so he put out the right eye. So I guess the left-handed people in town said, yeah, that's okay. I can lose my right one. But all the right-handed people that were going for war said, wait a minute, if I lose my right eye, I've lost everything, and I'm not going to be that good of a warrior. That's what it was all about, was taking them from being the warriors that they were supposed to be and then limiting them. They still could swing a sword, but they couldn't swing a sword as good because they were short their right eye. The enemy wants to come into your life, and he wants to create obstacles, he wants to create confusion, he wants to create problems, He wants to get you dabbling in sin. He wants to get you to do anything that you can do that will limit you from being a warrior. First of all, he knows he's defeated. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He already knows that he's been defeated, that the devil is defeated, and Jesus sits on the throne, and that if you ever know that he's defeated, and you ever walk in the power and the authority that he's given you, and you ever walk and speak and walk as a child of God that you're supposed to in this world, that he's defeated and he can't have any place in your life. So he just wants you not to be a warrior. He wants you not to fight. He wants you not to stand up in life and rebuke. He wants you not to pray over your grandchildren, to pray over your children. He wants you to just say, well, I guess everything's okay. Now, I'm just going to get back on my soapbox for just a minute, and y'all just let me have a little bit. You know, everybody's upset about the new TSA rules about, you know, traveling. And if you don't travel much, then it doesn't, you know, you don't think much about it. But if you travel, then, you know, they're talking about all these, either you go through the full body scan or you have to go through this new pat-down procedure, which in some cases has gotten extremely graphic, okay? And so I've talked to some people about it, just randomly asked people about it, because I guess maybe I'm coming from a different perspective, all right? And the perspective is first of all, I don't like being stripped down naked in front of the world for something that I didn't have anything to do with. And that's my biggest beef. I'm not a big promoter in pornography, even though I don't think that anybody's going to want to look at my pornography. But, needless to say, I don't think it's right that I should have to stand up, strip before the world, when I didn't do anything. See, I'm a firm believer in the good old boy card. I want a good old boy card. When I go up there to him and I say, here's my good old boy card, I say, oh, good old boy, go on through. But what I see in my own self when I see this coming up and I see the things that are going and they're saying they're going to do this is I see a loss of liberty. And I'm very, very, very cautious in my life about the liberty that I have by the Constitution and the liberty that Jesus has bought and paid for me. And I don't want to lose liberty because I know that if you ever give up ground in your life, it's hard to take back. Hello? Y'all know if you've ever disciplined yourself in exercising or anything, studying, trying to learn how to play a musical instrument, trying to do whatever, and you say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But the moment you quit doing it and you stop for a while and you give up to other things and you don't put that as a priority, you lose ground. And it is harder to take ground back than it is to just win it the first time. And see, Nahash here, this Amorite, goes up to make war, but he's not really a man of war because he would have just told the city, I'm going to kill you if you don't give up. He said, okay, well, go find somebody. If you can find somebody to deliver you, fine. If not, well, I'm going to take over. What? That don't make any sense. And I don't like giving up liberty. Because I know that if I give up liberty, it's going to be harder to win back. Are with me? Now, on the other hand, I want to travel on an airplane safe. Right? I want to travel on an airplane safe. I think they ought to give everybody on the airplane a gun. A bat. If anything, a small bat, you know. Something. I don't know. I this has got to be a better way. Right? But what the Lord keeps impressing me is I've been hearing all this and looking at all this and studying all this and going on. It just keeps impressing me about what liberties have we given up? Ourselves. What liberties have we given up? Where have we compromised in our lives that we have given place to the enemy? And would be willing to give up an eye, an ear, an arm, or a leg, and have given him place. Now, what's interesting to me about the people of Jabesh-Gilead, the town that was being attacked, if you go back and you study their history, There was a time in their history, this town, all of Israel had called for everyone to come out and make a covenant together before God, and this town didn't. And Israel themselves went over there and made war with them and defeated them. So they were a defeated people with a defeated mentality, and they contemplated, well, I don't know, it's not so bad to lose your eye. Folks, I don't know, that just does not sound good to me. No way can I see losing your eye. There's no painless way to poke out your eye that they had in that day. And to think, well, I can still see and function, just not quite as well. Don't have near the peripheral vision. But I see people doing the same thing. That with our lives and our liberties and our freedoms, we're stopping and we're saying, well, I could give up and I could live without an eye. Folks, I don't think we should live without anything that Jesus bought and paid for us. I don't think we should live without any of our freedoms that our founding fathers died and paid for with their blood. I don't think there's anything that we should give up. I think you can get wrong by asking what's not yours. But standing your ground for what is yours is a righteous thing. Now, I want to just go a little farther with this. The devil is not stupid. He's been around forever. Okay? He's not stupid. He's not going to come to you and try to get you to compromise something that's great big right off the bat. That's the problem. Is he sneaks in like a thief. And he doesn't take all your liberty at once. He takes a little bit of it just a little bit at a time. Proverbs says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's like people don't understand about predator control. Poor little piggies. Aren't they cute? Just leave them alone for a while and see what happens. Next thing you know, they've taken completely over. Next thing you know, you can't grow a garden. Next thing you know, man, you can't raise any livestock. Next thing you know, they're in charge and you're not. But it's the same as with our lives. If you don't get the swine out of your life, if you don't live a life that you have to do inventory all the time to see where you're at. You have to do inventory at every moment to look and say, well, where are we going with this? Where's this at? Where are we in life? Am I giving up anything? Watch it. Because when the compromise comes, if you give it up, I'm telling you, that ground is harder to win back than if you just defeated it right then. Hello? I don't think any of us in here could say we've never lost some ground. I think all of us at times have lost ground. There's things in my own life that I have dreams in my own life of things I want to do that I have gotten busy with other things and not been consistent on those things and I've not walked in them. Like, for instance, I have always wanted to be able to preach fluently in Spanish with, you know, no mistakes. All it takes is practice. All it takes is work. I can preach in Spanish now with a lot of mistakes. And see, I compromise. Well, I can get along. Oh, this is more important over here. And so I don't practice, and I don't clean it up, and I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't watch my sentence structure and everything else. You see what I'm saying? You get lazy. We all do. And then we get a little bit and we compromise. Now, the problem is if we get a little bit with Jesus and then we stop and we don't continue to grow and don't continue to move on, don't continue to develop ourselves, we just know we're safe and secure in our salvation. Like maybe we've got a good jobs and our finances are okay and we're not worried about money and our health's good, we're not worried about that. Then we come to a place of complacency and we just start to live right there. The problem is, folks, that's a rut. You make ruts in your life when you keep going over the same road over and over again. You make ruts. And as you know, ruts are hard to get out of. They're actually graves with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. You don't realize it, you're in a grave. You read your Bible the same amount, you pray the same amount, you stretch yourself in the things of God the same amount, and you just get there and you just get complacent. Before long, you're just in a rut. You don't even realize it. And the enemy wants you right there because you're not very dangerous. As a warrior, you're not very dangerous. Then when something big happens, man, all the sirens in your life go off, all the bells go off in life, and then you're just like, man, you don't want to be in shape. Y'all know how if you exercise, that when you first are getting sore and all your muscles hurt, after you get past that, if you maintain it, you don't go back to that same place. But once you quit and let it go and you start over, then it's always a place of pain. It's always a place of hurting. You're always sore. You're always tired. Oh, I can't do it. But you got to go on. You got to keep pushing. You got to go a little more. And then if you just do everything exactly the same in your exercise and you don't go any farther, then your body adjusts to the place that it is and that you've exercised it to, and then nothing starts happening. Now you're not burning the amount of calories. You're not losing any weight. You're not developing yourself anymore because your body just adjusts to that place. So you got to go a little farther. You got to go a little more. You got to stretch. It's your same with your Christian walk. You can't just get saved and know you're going to heaven and then you're just living out your life like that. You're going to be just like, or just flying low through the radar, you know? Can't do it. You got to keep learning. You got to keep stretching. You got to keep building yourself. You got to keep reading your Bible. You got to keep praying. You got to find new things. You got to find new things to look at. You got to find new experiences, new areas of prayer, new areas of revelation. You have to keep doing it. Otherwise, you're in a grave and you're going to end up getting in trouble. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, boy, I've never heard Pastor be so right. Come on, man. Y'all ain't helping me at all. Just look at the person beside you and say, it's the best I've ever heard. You're probably just thinking, I wish you'd just shut up. I'm hungry. The fish is frying. And it's a real simple word this morning, and that's it. Don't compromise. Don't let somebody poke your right eye out. Don't even get to the place in life that you would contemplate. Just an eye. You know, it's just a little finger. Don't do it. Don't go there. Don't go to that place. Don't let yourself even contemplate it. It's just a little sin. If you know it's sin, leave it alone. Yesterday, my family, because my sister couldn't be here on Thanksgiving, we had Thanksgiving with my family yesterday. And my wife had a pecan pie left over. And so this morning, she asked me, do you want to keep this pecan pie or you want to take it to dinner on the grounds? I said, get it out of the house. Get it gone. At least I have a few days before next Thanksgiving comes. There's going to be more pecan pie in 4 days. Don't worry about it. Get rid of that one today and I'll. But I mean, you know what? And as soon as I said, yeah, to stay down the grounds, there was something on the inside of me that says, are you crazy? You could have a piece every day. Sweet. Is that a little compromise? That little voice in my head say, yeah, it'd be okay. Eat it. But folks, I'm not going to lose an eye. I don't want to lose an eye. Proverbs also says, don't give your years to the cruel one. I don't want to give my years to the cruel one. I don't want to do what's wrong. I want to do what's right. Amen? So simply check out your lives today. If you've compromised, then see the ground you lost, get it back, and then start shooting for more ground. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would. Let me have my prayer team come down if you would, please. I don't know what all's going on in your lives today, but if you're here and you need prayer, well, we're here to pray with you. And so I'm going to pray over you and dismiss the service today, and then we can go over to the fellowship hall and continue the service by just fellowshipping and enjoying ourselves. I ask you to, if you're going to compromise anything today, compromise on the fish so that it goes around to everybody. Don't fill your plate completely full. Know there's somebody at the back end of the line that wants a piece too. And so, take the hand of the person beside you. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to dismiss you. Those of you that won't need prayer, we're up here for you. We'll pray with you. And I'm going to bless the food, and then we can continue to go on and fellowship together. Lord, today I just thank you for this word, and I believe it in our lives, Lord, that each and every one of us just look at our hearts. And Lord, we declare today that we are not going to compromise. We're not going to give ground to the enemy. We're not going to give place to the enemy. We're not going to lose an eye or any other thing in life, Lord God, spiritually speaking, that causes us to compromise our walk with you. I thank you today, Lord, that every place that we've lost ground, you show us and you speak to us so that we can gain that ground back. And every place, Lord God, that we need to be gaining more ground, you show it to us so we can go do that too. But Lord, I declare these people are warriors. These people today, that they are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. They are overcomers. They are conquerors, Lord, and that nothing will stand in their way. That greater is he that's within us than he that's in this world. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we praise you for it. Lord, bless them today. Bless the food. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time together. Let it be a glorious day, Lord God, in worship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, and we're here for you if you need prayer.